Oh, this will be fun today. We get to celebrate the good things that we are doing here in this country. And there's a lot of them. We feel like we're hit an awful lot with negative press here and there. And I think a lot of that's just the focus. I don't think we're picking out stories of sacrifice, of community service, of patriotism, of coming together to solve problems. But, we had that opportunity with our 250th anniversary. We'll ask some questions here. I know there's a lot of events going on. And so from Missoula to Miles City, Plentywood to Polson, your communities are coming together, hopefully, to celebrate the 250th anniversary here as well. We'll talk about patriotism. I mean, there's parades and rodeos and concerts on the plate here as well. But as we look at these milestones of the past, we want to look to our country's future as well. Chris Eberle will join us today on Voices of Montana. I'm looking at some of these stats. There are some interesting stats, but quotes, I should say. Thomas Jefferson and Calvin Coolidge and John Kennedy and Theodore Roosevelt and Ben Franklin, they all had interesting thoughts and ideas and high regard for patriotism, for community service, and for those things that we hold dear, the freedoms that we have in this country to do these kinds of good things. And so that's what we're celebrating. I think not necessarily that we're 250 years old and going on 251. It's what America has meant to Americans, to the rest of the world, to you individually, and to your families. And I don't know. I'm one of those who love this country. I don't think it's perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm on it and I'm behind it. And so is Chris Eberle. Chris joins us now. Chris serves on the Montana 250th Commission, brings his lifelong passion for American history. We had you and Senator Esma on, maybe it was a couple of months ago or whatever it was. And Chris, welcome. I could feel your passion. We could hear it from you guys. How you doing, sir?
I am wonderful. We are less than 2 weeks away from America's big birthday, and I'm excited to celebrate with the whole state.
Yeah. How's it been going?
It's been going. That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
It's constant motion. It's constant action. We're seeing so much enthusiasm around the state, and a lot of times it's we're able to help fund a project or sponsor or be involved in an event, and the community is so thankful just to be able to have somebody paying attention, shining a spotlight on the work that they're doing. And I know we're not catching everything. I know there are communities around the state doing great things that we are unaware of and we're trying to make ourselves aware of. But I heard a comment from someone recently, it's secondhand, but they're saying, there's so many places in this country where he feels like they're not celebrating our America. They're not celebrating this birthday, but we don't have to worry about that in Montana. And I think there was a report that came out last week that Montana is the second most patriotic state. I think we've alternated between first and second in all of these rankings in recent years. And I think it shows. We care about our country. We care about our state. We care about our military. We want to honor and live up to the values and principles that this country was founded on. And there's a reason so many people have moved here, as frustrating as it can be for some in the last decade, because they see Montana as an expression of the best of America. And I'm seeing that every day in the work that we're doing. So I'm kind of sad that, we're getting close to the fourth, and we're going through the end of the year. Our commission sunsets on December 31st, and we plan to continue programming and events all the way through then. But I know that there'll be some let up after the fourth, which is kind of sad. We're going to get to the hill, and then it's somewhat downhill from there. But we still got a lot of work to do.
Well, and that's exciting too. The kind of work that you're doing is like super exciting. The Red, White, and Brew trivia at the Kettle House. That's one place. Let's see, that's going on. I'm just looking at your event calendar. It's America250MT.org. There's a big event that really kicks off with the Historical Society on the 27th, which is Friday, Saturday. I'm excited to talk about that. Let's stay with this. And if people want to comment, I would love to hear from you. 866-627-5483. Or just text a message as well, 781-627-5483. I want to know what your level of patriotism is and what it means to you. And if you would join the show with those thoughts, I would very much appreciate that. 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. So, Chris, I'm going to ask this question about what is patriotism? I mean, love of country, is it our national ideals? Is it service to community? I suppose it's all those things. It's how I guess an individual would define what their country means to them.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with all of those different elements of patriotism. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the definition, and I think, you know, a lot of people want to criticize others for a blind loyalty. And I don't think it has to be blind. I think your eyes are wide open when you come into patriotism, when you come into love of country. You can understand that our history has some very difficult and dark moments in it. But the story that I think we want to remember is how we come out on the other side, how people came together, how they resolved their differences. And in some cases, it took a civil war to resolve our differences. And it still took years after that, decades after that, to resolve differences. We're in a different place in 2026 than we were in 1776. So I hope that people don't put the 2026 lens on actions of the past and just kind of give up and say, well, you know, I hear this, we've never been great. I think we've always been great, but we always have the possibility of being greater. And that patriotism that I hope folks carry is the desire to want to make this country better, to want to do their part. We have an initiative that I'm sure we'll talk about later that we launched with the governor called Two Lights Montana. And it encourages people to know their history, to engage in their history, to work with their local governments and their interim committees at the legislature this year, and then to go and serve. And that community service, these are actions that individuals can take regardless of who they are or where they are, because patriotism requires action, and it requires deliberation, and it requires a whole lot of commitment and involvement. It's not just passive. And so one of the things we're trying to do this year is not just do the celebratory stuff, which I love, I'm all for, but the lasting things. How do you get people to be inspired by their country, their community, their state? And then the next step is taking action, learning more, engaging with your government, helping your community. So those are all things that I think feed into patriotism. It doesn't make it a neat definition. It is, to your point, maybe somewhat fungible to, you know, every individual person across the state. But it doesn't require a blindness, but it does require action and commitment and some level of wanting to be involved in making this country and this state and this in your community better place.
Chris Averill with us again, the Montana 250 Commission here. A lot of celebration going on. We'll get to some of those events. And I got a call coming in, so I appreciate that. Give us your thoughts about patriotism. Are you feeling it as much as you have? Or, you know, what happens to a country without it? I'm going to ask Chris that question. We're at 866-627-5483. So Chris, that's the question. You know, what do we suffer or without patriotism in this country?
Well, it's a good question. I feel like what happens is, you know, we devolve into divisiveness, and we don't rally around a common point of unity. And, you know, a lot of people in my generation will point to September 11th as the reaction to September 11th was an opportunity for unity and purpose and patriotism and common goals. And it was a terrible tragedy that led to that. And then we've seen in subsequent years, as memory fades, we have challenges. And there's no denying that our nation has challenges. It's how we respond to those challenges. And so I think the lack of patriotism, quote unquote, it just leads us to be strangers to one another. And there's a whole number of things that have happened in the subsequent 25 years since 9/11 that have torn us apart. But at the same time, we were able to find that unity, that patriotism. It wasn't just waving a flag. It was understanding what the meaning of the flag was behind it. It was remembering previous generations and how they responded to challenges and expecting ourselves to live up to higher ideals. I think we occasionally nowadays see what happens when we're maybe not lacking patriotism, but we're just overwhelmed by the divisiveness, and it's coming from a whole bunch of places. And again, I think the patriotism requires active participation. It requires a commitment from people to want to be involved and talk to one another. That's another part of our mission. I mean, it sounds like a very simple one, but we want to reach every person in this state. And even if they don't come to an event or engage in an activity, they've taken some time to think about what this anniversary means for them personally. And maybe that can move them to want to be involved in their community. And that leads them to meet new people who have different perspectives and come from different walks of life. And they start a conversation and they start a friendship and they build the next partnership that transforms their local community. I mean, anything that we can do to bring people together, that's why, I mean, it may sound like it's just a fun one-off, but these red, white, and brew trivia nights or these beer events that we're doing, yeah, it's literally designed to bring people together that might not otherwise interact and see what happens.
You've got revolution written all over you, born in Boston, and that's the site of really where it kind of almost all started there with the Tea Party. And then 250 years ago. So, and I appreciate your answers. So you get the hard questions. Okay. And we got a couple of comments here. We'll get to that here, on the other side of a break. But the thing that I'm concerned about, you talk about the challenges we have in this country. The administration, the past administration, whatever, Democrats, there was 20 million or more illegal aliens let into the country most recently. And that's on top of mass illegal immigration, 20 years ago, too. So and how long does it take? I have always been concerned, and that's why you see the Somalia fraud, or they don't have the same connection to our country. They don't understand the sacrifice that our families have made. We have grandfathers and sons and daughters who have made these sacrifices. How much of a problem is that? How do we fold all of those? And maybe we don't. I mean, there's certainly extradition going on regarding that. But that hasn't that put a kink in how we feel about our country? Because patriotism, it has to be earned by your government as well.
Well, I think that, some of the things we're talking about being connected to one another, regardless of your background, the idea of service is universal. I mean, everybody has some desire inside of them to want to help make their community a better place. It takes some commitment and some action, and maybe it's giving up some time on your weekends or things like that. But I think we can appeal to everyone to want to be a part of making this a better place. We talk a lot about, we are a nation of immigrants. It's a very valid point that so many different cultures, and this is true in colonial days. I mean, mm-hmm. the colonies looked vastly different than any other quote unquote nation on earth, because there were so many people from so many different places living in Philadelphia or North Carolina or Virginia. I mean, these places were maybe, originally formed by Puritans fleeing and seeking religious freedom. But over time, we saw the influx of so many different cultures and customs that came to America that I think makes us truly unique, that we've always branded ourselves a melting pot. And it's important that we understand that a melting pot means we all come together, right? E pluribus unum, out of many one. There is something to be said for patriotism involving an understanding of an appreciation for the uniqueness of this nation. We all come from different places. We all have our stories, our family histories that make this place better. And it's why I think so many people in this country are concerned about the issues you raised, but also at the same time are vehemently supportive of a legal immigration mm-hmm. system. The idea, and to your point about earning it, those folks are raising their hand. They're indicating they want to be a part of the fabric of this country. They want to contribute to this society that has been created over the past 400 years. Came together 250 years ago. And one of the things I'll tie into that is, you know, what I always say that we have 49 other years to deal with the squabbles and the division and the other. We need 1 year to inspire ourselves to want to be a part of this ongoing American experiment. Because if we're not inspired, why would you want to be a part of this? Why wouldn't you just throw up your hands and say, it's not solvable. We can't do anything about this. We're just permanently divided. We worked with Superintendent Hedlund to basically create this seal of civics literacy so that when you're a graduating senior, you take the same citizenship test that anybody who is coming here legally that wants to apply for citizenship takes. And I think it's a great thing that can unite us. And I think everybody across the state should go and look at these. I think there's 128 questions now. It's U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services administers the test as part of your citizenship requirements. And I always feel like sometimes we're all not so sure. The ones who are lucky enough to have been here for their whole lives, we don't know our history as well as I think we should. We don't understand our government as well as we should. I think we have too many people in the country who are just, they've forgotten what they learned in high school and middle school. And I would love an opportunity, because if the people who want to be here, who are desperate to become American citizens, who understand the value of this culture and this society, have to take this test and answer these questions and understand this knowledge, I think every American citizen should, at some level, want to have that same baseline, because that's what connects us.
Yeah.
If we understand what makes us unique, how our government functions, the history that's brought us to this point, then we can all say this is what unites us. This is what brings us together, is the commonality, whether you got here 2 days ago or 200 years ago as a family. So I want to invest more on the things that bring us together. And I think one of the things that can do that is the citizenship test, not just thinking of it as, well, that's what the new people are going to have to take and they need to learn it and they, you know, better know it if they want to be a part of this, but also reminding ourselves, we were fortunate enough to be here. We didn't have to take a test like this to be a citizen. Let's make sure that we understand what is so special about this place, understand how our government functions, and then be a part of that. So it's a long way to answer your question, but hopefully a forward-looking vision of something that can unite us and that can take away some of the concerns that people have about, you know, who should be a part of our society. And if they want to, if they show the demonstrate the commitment to doing that, I think we should all do the same and meet some people halfway.
Well stated, Chris. It's not easy to accomplish that as well, but we have to have that as a goal and endeavor in that regard. Got a set of quotes here, and I like them. I'm going to roll through a few of them here. Time running out in this segment, but the history of free men is never really written by chance, but by choice, their choice. That's Dwight D. Eisenhower. And then Winston Churchill, Britain's wartime prime minister, the farther backward you can look, the farther forward you are likely to see. We are with Chris Averill here, who is with the Montana 250th Commission as Montana and the country celebrates their 250th anniversary. Lots of questions still and some events we want to get to, but thanks for calling Nancy and Roundup and listening alongside here. You're on with Chris here and some thoughts today about patriotism.
Well, thank you, Tom, for taking my phone call, and good morning, and thank you, Chris, so very, very much for trying to keep the spirit of our country alive and doing things for patriotism. And I just think it's just so awesome and just absolutely amazing what you and so many others are doing. But I want to say that the United States, America, it's my home. This is where I live. And I have a lot of respect for my house, for what I've accomplished in my life, and for what my ancestors have accomplished in order for my freedom to have what I have today. And I just want to remind everyone that before the Revolutionary War broke out, only 3% of the colonists at that time fought against the British and the French. Only 3%. So the you see these flags that show the 3%. That's what that means. And they won the war against being oppressed by these foreign entities that wanted to take over this new world. And it's just absolutely commendable what they did. And if you read what our soldiers and our commanders at that time went through, well, like at Village Forge, I mean, the men had no shoes, no socks. They went through this terrible winter, and there were blood in their footprints, and I can go on and on about this. And I am humbled by the sacrifice they made for freedom. They had a tremendous vision of what freedom is. And as far as, Tom, I know you were mentioning the illegals, and I have to agree. They have no respect for us. They come here and grab what we have earned. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and this isn't really the kind of show to talk about it right now.
Right.
But
yeah.
I'm celebrating. Everyone I talk to is celebrating here in Roundup. We have a lot of events going on. And I and my kids and my whole family are going to celebrate our nation's birthday, the longevity of the United States of America. And I just want to say that I'd like to see more history, like you mentioned, Chris, and also self-reliance classes taught in our public school systems. And, well, like this reflecting pool in Washington, D.C. President Trump has cleaned it up, and somebody throws algae in it.
Yeah,
that is a narcissistic movement. And it's just totally disrespectful, and I can't say enough against it. But everyone out there, I know we're one big family. We have disagreements. That helps make us to grow. And God bless the United States of America, and God bless talk shows like Voices of Montana, and people like Chris. So all of you, just hang in there. We're going to make it. We're going to last, I hope, forever.
I appreciate that, Nancy. A lot of things to go off of there, and we'll save that for the other segment. Skip, listening in Hamilton, thank you for calling in today. And at 866-627-5483, got a line open now. Skip, thanks. I might not have saved you enough time, but please go.
That's all right. I can shorten it quickly by just saying ditto Nancy, which I always do, because she just makes wonderful soliloquies. And then, Chris, thanks for coming on, and I got to tell you, man, I'm kind of shivering listening to you because, first of all, you're from Boston. I was brought up in Newburyport, and I'm telling anybody my age, but in 3 years, I'll be the youngest 80-year-old in the Bitterroot. So I can tell you this. I'm standing here looking at America the Quiz, which is and the 100-question disc and the Oath of Allegiance and the Citizens' Almanac. And the Pledge of Allegiance song written and sung, I'm looking right at it because I own it, it's in 1935 by Irving Cesar, who for the first time sung it to the U.S. Congress. And that was the year after they put the word God in the Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm looking at all that, and this is the official material that
20 seconds.
Somebody who's a naturalized citizen has to learn before they take the test. And it's so amazing that you brought up the citizenship test. And I was standing there looking at it because I was going to call in and tell Tom about it.
A lot of celebrations on tap for Montana's 250th and the country's 250th. And we barely scratched the surface here as we're talking about what does America mean today, and is patriotism declining, and how important is it to you? Chris Averill is with us here, well-spoken guy born in Boston, history degree, worked in Congress for a number of years, was also a regional administrator with the U.S. General Services Administration, and serves on a couple of historic preservation committees as well, and a big part of this 250th commission too. Got a few things to catch up on, Chris, but I'm going to throw just some quotes out here because I just think they're profound in a lot of ways. This one is about service and sacrifice from George Patton. one of America's most famous World War II generals. And I found this really interesting because it's rough on one side and really profound and thoughtful on the other. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. Love that one an awful lot. And Ronald Reagan here, America's 40th president, champion free markets and a lot of freedom there. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And we see that, that when people now talk about, we think, you know, our country is at, we are at risk of losing our country. That just, it's really hard to fathom that. Theodore Roosevelt, the country will not be a good place for any of us to live in unless we make it a good place for all of us to live in. Chris, let's back up a little bit. Nancy had some good thoughts. Well, by the way, in Roundup, they're celebrating the 4th with Cooper Allen and Tanya Tucker. That'll be a lot of fun. But her country is her home.
It was wonderful, and I'm really thrilled that she mentioned Valley Forge. I was just there Saturday morning. We got into Philadelphia late, got a couple hours of sleep, got up and went to the park. And Joseph Plum Martin is someone who, if you want to learn the next level of colonial and revolutionary figures, that's one to look into. But the brochure they give out from the Park Service features his quote, "We were determined to persevere." Et cetera. We had engaged in the defense of our injured country, and we were willing, nay, we were determined to persevere. And that's, I think, the spirit that both Nancy and Skip brought to this conversation. We, as, you know, citizens of this nation in 2026, we can feel however we want to feel, but we need to be determined to persevere to make sure that we are here for another 250 years, because it's not just about us, it's about our future. And so to have folks like that call into the show and make the comments they made, I think gives me a lot of hope that people get it.
Yeah.
You know, people understand the sacrifices and that they know that they have to play their own part in ensuring our country does persevere. We may not be in the, you know, the times of the Revolution or the Civil War or the 1960s, but we got big challenges, and we can do a lot more together than we can divided. So I'm glad that they call it. And that's another Nancy's point about our home. My country is my home. I mean, it's something that should give you pride. And I feel really, you know, concerned when I see the polling that comes out right around July 4th that, you know, pride is slipping to a new low. And our pride is so often determined by who's in power. I mean, if our team's winning, we're proud. And if our team's losing, we're not as proud. And it's an unfortunate mentality that I think we've kind of allowed ourselves to slip into. And there's a lot of reasons behind that. And I hope that this year we can all find a way to bring those numbers back up and say, you know what, we got our challenges. Maybe my group isn't in power, but it'll change in a few years, and I'm still proud to be an American.
Yeah, one of the things that stood out for me, and I've said this before, but when she said, "I'm humbled by their sacrifice," and if you walk in humility towards something, there's a thankfulness about that. There's a peace that comes from that, and then there's that whole understanding that you put yourself in their shoes. To understand that sacrifice, then you wonder, would I have made that sacrifice? And so I appreciate being humbled by their service, because these were just ordinary colonists, really. But they had a flag, freedom, you know. So I love that one too. And then Skip as well, that citizenship package, you had talked about that. You find that vitally important, don't you?
I do. I really think that the one of the things I've heard when it comes to education, as we've been going about and talking to people, is they're concerned that the current education system, and this is just speaking very broadly and generically, doesn't emphasize civics as much as it needs to.
Yeah.
And I know in Montana, in 2023, there was, you know, civics became a requirement for high school graduation. It's a half course credit. Alongside financial literacy, which is also very important. But people are just feeling like maybe we could do a better job. And the seal of civics literacy is one way. The past few months, I've been involved in a number of programs. National Civics B, which was the state competition, was held in Helena 2 weeks ago. I got to judge there. And National History Day, I was just there last week, this time actually judging some competitors from across the country. And they had their celebration on Thursday. These are ways to get students curious and interested in history. And one of my favorite, this is from last year when I judged, there were some kids from New Jersey who wrote made a documentary about the Three Mile Island incident in Pennsylvania. And they spent about 2 minutes, the first 2 minutes of a 10-minute documentary, when you're supposed to talk about the historical significance of an event in history, explaining nuclear fission and reactions and all the technical scientific things. And at first, you know, my first comment is, oh, geez, they wasted 2 minutes. But my second thought was, they used their love of science to get interested in history. And we need to find students where they are, and we need to find all Americans where they are. That's why we do the beer things and the other things that I'm going to talk about. But how do you get them interested in history? Some kids like me, I just loved opening a book and reading and learning more about historical figures and events and things. And I'm not everybody. So I realized that if you've got to go to your science class, or you've got to go to philosophy, or you've got to go somewhere to catch students and say, but look at how cool this history was. Look at how this informed how we do things in our country through our government. Programs like these are so important in getting kids aware of what's out there, getting them invested and involved. They're creating their own projects. They have to go up and defend them like they're doing a senior thesis. You know, it's a really cool experience, and it brings kids to our nation's capital. They get to meet their government leaders. They get to go see the building. I literally went on a tour Wednesday morning, excuse me, of the Capitol, a building I worked in for you know, 7 years. And I just went on the public tour with these kids and watched their eyes light up when they saw the rotunda and the statues from Montana. And it was just really cool to see, all right, we're inspiring a spark within these students that maybe this takes them down a path of whatever they're interested in for their profession, but they're probably going to have some level of civic participation and responsibility baked into their lives now. It was so great.
Yeah. Let's take one more call then. And I do got to save time for some of these events. There's a list of them, but that's for sure. But Lisa in Miles City has been standing by, wants to weigh in on patriotism in America. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. And I really appreciate you telling everybody that we got to work together. And I'll make it quick. What I'm going to do to be patriotic is, I've been working for the last 30 years for my landlord, and I was working really for room and board, so I wasn't paying into Social Security. But I'm 56 years old, and I have at least the next 10 years until I'm 66. I'm going to get a big box store job in Miles City, and I'm going to pay into Social Security. And I'm real excited about it. I have a mental disability, but I'm not going on disability. I'm going to pay in to be patriotic, and I'm real excited about it.
Oh, nice, Lisa. I appreciate that. That's kind of profound in a lot of ways, too. But, you know, making just, it's more than just a little gesture, isn't it, Chris?
It really is. I mean, it's indicative of sort of what I was talking about earlier. I mean, when Social Security was established, not everybody was on board, but it's become a part of the American fabric. And so how do you make that system better? Well, it requires everybody to do their part. And now there's concerns about its solvency for the future. So for Lisa to say, my act of patriotism is to help the next generation, because, you know, I'm staring down Social Security at some point, hopefully, and if it's going to be there, you know, there's been, and this is the iterative process of our government. I remember when I was in college, there was a move to make the Bush administration allow for sort of privatization of Social Security accounts, not fully do away with it, but people would be allowed to create their own private accounts in lieu of Social Security because they were concerned about its future. And it didn't pass and it didn't go anywhere. So now, all right, how do we keep talking about fixing this? And again, that point of the individual, what can I do? What's my civic responsibility? Well, as much as we don't like it, it's our civic responsibility to pay taxes, and it's our civic responsibility to vote. And those are both important, meaningful parts of a functioning constitutional republic that we live in. And it's fine to you know, complain about it, but at the same time, Lisa's saying, I'm going to raise my hand and do it. And that's wonderful. It just tells me that there's people who are creatively thinking about different ways where they can make a difference in this important year, and be involved in their community and their government, in their responsibilities. And it's just a wonderful thing to see.
A lot of good thoughts shared here today, and we gotta come back and talk about the Helena kickoff, the statewide kickoff event this weekend, and other things going on around the state in Great Falls, Missoula, Eastern Montana, Livingston, Belt, Flathead Valley. Chris Averill is with us. You are celebrating America's 250th this year on Voices. There's a lot of events here. I do encourage you to take in the event calendar. Some are ticketed. There's some that are free and ticketed, like the kickoff event Saturday, June 27th. But it's America250MT.org for more information. Got a comment from Frank. Frank, I'm sorry we didn't have time to take your call, but don't forget about the women in the revolution who played such a huge part, the matriarchs of our families and our country as well. And I think that's unique in a lot of ways, how America and the women of America back 250 years ago were sacrificed as much as anybody did during that time. So, Chris, let's kick into some of these events, right? Didn't save enough time, but what are some of the highlights that you like?
Yeah, I'm going to roll through the next 2 weeks as quick as I can. So if you're in Billings tomorrow night, 105 Brewing up in the Heights at 5:00, we're going to have an event. They've brewed a special Montana 250 beer called Hazy 250. It's an IPA. And we're going to have the Billings beer car, the beer bottle car, on display there. So 5:00 at 105 Brewing. Then on Saturday in Helena, we've got our kickoff to America's 250th. So we're 1 week out from the 4th. It's kind of our signature event as a commission. We still have a handful of tickets. They're free left. You have to register. So go to our website. You'll see the link there. At 5:00 at the new Heritage Center. It's a part of their whole week of grand opening at the Heritage Center. And then at 7:30, if the weather holds, we're going to have a concert on the Capitol lawn for everybody. Everybody's welcome, no tickets, with Jack Gladstone and the New Horizons Brass Band with some patriotic tunes and hopefully a flyover from the Air National Guard if the weather will hold. Monday, Guild in Missoula, Guild Brewing at 5:00. We're also going to do our Red, White, and Brew trivia night. Speaking of Remember the Mothers, our vice chair, Molly Stockdale, over at Traveler's Rest Connection in Lolo, she has trivia, and they got Founding Mothers in there, so make sure you're up on your knowledge for that. And then when you come to the 4th, we got stuff all over the state. I'm not going to get to all of it. I know we funded some stuff in Cascade, where they're going to have historical reenactors. In Lewistown, where the Judith Mountain Players are going to reenact the signing of the Declaration of Independence in period costume. It's going to be wonderful. We've got parades and fairs and festivals that we've helped, Livingston, Baker, all kinds of things all over the state. And then I'm going to end real quick with July 8th, 4:00 in Helena at the state capitol on the lawn, reading of the Declaration of Independence. It was the exact moment that it was first read in Philadelphia 250 years ago. It was actually on the 8th where it's first publicly read. We're going to have an event with the city of Helena on the Capitol lawn, and we're going to have local celebrities and school kids reading parts of the Declaration. And that's one thing I want to leave folks with. Please do go to our website, learn about our events, learn about that that Two Lights Montana, because we want to get people engaged in that and learning from one another.
Yeah, give me the 30 seconds. Give me the 30 seconds, Chris, on Two Lights Montana. Give me 30 seconds on what that one is.
Yeah, so that's basically go out and go to a museum and learn something new and then take a selfie and write a story and do the hashtag #TwoLightsMT. Then you do the same thing with engaging with your government. Go to a local government and speak about an issue you care about. Talk about your experience. And then serve, community service. We got a big thing October 24th. We're going to launch with Serve Montana. It's Make Montana Makes a Difference Day. So different community service. And you can do it anytime. And then we want to log those hours with America 250 and demonstrate that we as Montanans are giving people. But take some time to read the Declaration this next week and a half. Don't just do the fireworks and the barbecues and the parade. Remember what this is all about.
Great.
And it's a short document.
Great job, Chris. Appreciate all of that. Again, it is America250MT.org.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.